So please open your copy of God's Word to the book of Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 12. Our title tonight is called A Living Sacrifice. And speaking of sacrifice, one of the things I had to sacrifice was food. And boy, was it hard. I wanted to lose 30 pounds, and I knew that I needed to sacrifice eating the way that I was eating in order to go ahead and lose that weight, in addition to going to the gym. But the hardest part was sacrificing the eating time, sacrificing ice cream and brownies, sacrificing burgers and soda and all the good sweet stuff. I knew that it tasted good, but I knew that it also was harming my body. I knew that it was doing bad to me and that I was overdoing it too much. And so I knew that I needed to sacrifice that in order to get healthy and be in the weight that God wanted me to be. But tonight we're going to speak of something way more serious than just physical sacrifice, as I spoke. We're going to be speaking about a spiritual sacrifice and how that looks like. Maybe you guys have sacrificed many things in your life. Maybe you sacrificed having more money because you wanted to spend more time with your family. Maybe you sacrificed a promotion just to have time with your family. I don't know what you have sacrificed tonight in your own personal life and what are those sacrifices that you have made in order to have a better life. But I want to ask you a more serious question. What have you sacrificed for God? Have you been a living sacrifice for Christ? And so our call tonight is to live a life that is totally given and sacrificed unto Jesus and giving up whatever we need to give up in order to please him. So let's go into our text. It's going to be, again, the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. The text tonight starts with the word therefore. And you know that when it starts with the word therefore, we must look into the whole context of the book. Nobody starts a conversation saying therefore. We always start a conversation with a beginning, and therefore is usually in the middle. So the reason that you see the word therefore during the text is because the book of Romans is divided into three main parts. The first part, it talks about our condition, that we are born into sin, that we are dead in our trespasses, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, that no one is righteous. The second portion of the text of the book of Romans, it speaks about God's redemption, about what Christ has done for us to redeem us, that salvation is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And when we get to this portion of the book of Romans in chapter 12, we get into the portion where it is the application. So because we have been sinners and because we have been redeemed by Christ and because our faith is only through Christ alone, therefore. So we get into the portion now of what Paul calls the application portion of this book of Romans. And so he says, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you. This is not something that he says, well, if you want to, if you feel like it, I have a suggestion for you guys. That's not what Paul is saying here to us tonight. He's saying, I urge you. This is an emergency. It's an urge. This reminds me of one time when I was in school and my dad picked me up to take me home. And my dad said, that driver in front of me is quite slow. I'm going to pass him. I'm going to cross him and I'm going to pass him. We need to get home. And I said, dad, I urge you, I really do not to do that. I don't like speeding and I don't like the idea of you crossing that double line because it's an illegal move. And I don't think that's such a good idea, dad. He said, son, I'm the driver, you're the passenger. I'm the adult, you're the children. I'm going to go ahead and go for it. Well, even though I urged him not to do it, he went for it, and he passed him. The crazy surprise is that that was an undercover cop. And just to say, it did not go well for us that day. We're lucky that we got off with a warning. And so I urged him not to pass that car. I urged him not to speed. I urged him not to cross that double line. And yet he still did it because he wanted to get home quicker. But in the same way, sometimes the word of God urges us to do something And because we think we know better, we just don't do it. We just say, nah, it's not that important. I beg you guys tonight with the Apostle Paul not to make the mistake tonight of that, to pay attention to the words of this text. This is not Randy speaking to you. This is the word of God. What Randy has to say to you tonight is really not important. I'm not really that wise. But what the word of God has to say to you tonight is of much importance. And God definitely knows what he's talking about. So here's what we are urged to do. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. And it brings me to my first point of the text tonight. And it's this. A life of holiness is the proper preparation for worship. Living a life of holiness is the proper way to worship God. There is no other way. I am taking a class right now that is called Worship Perspectives in Seminary. And as we've been studying, there are many ways people worship God. They want to worship God their own way. They almost have that Burger King mentality. I want to have God my way. In the culture that we live, we want to have God in a way that is convenient to us. We want to just follow the word of God that pleases us and that is easy to us. But how about those words that we find in the Bible, in the word of God, that are hard? And so I ask you tonight, are you being a living sacrifice for Christ? What is those things that you have sacrificed to live a closer relationship with Jesus Christ? I ask you tonight, what are those things that God has been asking you in your life to sacrifice, but you refuse? He urges you to stop it. He urges you to not cross that car. He urges you to stop that sin, but yet you ignore it. The Holy Spirit talks at you in your heart and in your spirit, and you feel it, but you continue on because we're not being a living sacrifice, because we're not willing to sacrifice those things that will cost us something. And so tonight, all together, my call is that we are to sacrifice. We are to give away those things that we know are keeping us away from a close relationship with Jesus. I urge you with Apostle Paul that we are to live lives that are holy and pleasing unto God. And if we are to live lives that are holy and pleasing unto God, then there are some things in our lives that we're going to have to give up. It's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it. It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to obey him, but it is worth it. It is worth it. Because having a close relationship with Jesus is our main purpose for being here. Our purpose for being here is not to just have a great life, a great home, great children, great careers, even though all those things in itself is not bad. But our main purpose for our existence here is to glorify God. It's to worship him, for he is our creator, he is our maker, he is our savior, he is our redeemer. And the least that we can do is give everything that we are back to him. So what are all those things that God is asking you tonight to give up? What are all those things in your life that God has just been telling you that you must sacrifice once and for all? I beg you guys, I urge you to give them up. And this will not be done through your own power. This will not be done through human efforts. We must depend in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must depend on prayer. We must depend on his word. We must depend on his power, not ours. Because I tell you what, if you try to do it on your own power, it's a guarantee that you will fail. And I know that all of us here in this room have tried to sacrifice things in our lives that are not pleasing to God. And we have failed miserably because we tried in our own strength. And we let's say, well, I just give up. This is the way it's going to be. I know that it's wrong, but I just can't stop. I just can't please God in this area of my life. So it's just going to have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You could live a life of misery. You could live a life of holiness. You could live a life that is pleasing unto God. But there must be sacrifice. What are those things that God is telling you to sacrifice? What are those things that God is saying, don't do it? Maybe God is telling you not to be watching too much of those TV shows. Maybe you need to put a stop on that Netflix and stop watching some of those series that you know it doesn't please God, but it's entertaining. Maybe God is telling you that not to listen to certain type of music or don't add certain way in social media because those things are not pleasing to God. We must be able to say, yes, Lord, you are Savior, you are Redeemer, and whatever you tell me, I will do by the help of your power. And so you will ask me, how can I live a life that is pleasing and holy unto God? What is the secret to living a holy and pleasing life? Well, it's on verse 2, so read with me. It says here, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. That is the secret. Our minds must be renewed by the word of God. We are bombarded in our culture with many different ways to live, many ways that the world tells you that you must live. This age, this world will tell you that you have to live a certain way to be successful. They'll tell you that you don't need to be truthful, but you could lie. They will tell you that you don't need to be holy all the time and be so serious about God, but that you could be lenient a little bit. It will tell you that you don't have to sacrifice anything for God. Just do what you want to do. They use this slogan a lot, right? The YOLO, you only live once. So just have fun, please yourself, for you only get one shot at it. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. That's not what God's perspective in life is. Since you do get only one life, we are to live it pleasing to God, not of our own. Many of us want to live our lives in a way that we are pleased and we are the center and we are at the throne of our hearts. But God demands that we take ourselves out of the throne and put Him. He demands that we put ourselves aside with our desires and our plans and our own ambitions and put Him at the throne and say, Lord, here am I. Do as you will with me. Do you want to know what the perfect will of God is for your life? Live a holy and pleasing life. Do not conform to this age, but transform your mind through His word, and you will soon find what is His pleasing and perfect will. Many people complain many times that they do not know what God wants for their lives. They do not know what God wants to do in their lives. They just don't know. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's purpose is for my life. Well, the text is very clear here. All we need to do is read the Bible. It's that simple. The Bible has the answers to life. Every answer that you seek for your life is in the Word of God. You don't need to go to friends. You don't need to go to family members. You don't need to go to counseling sessions. You don't need to go to psychiatrists. You don't need to read other magazines and articles. And those things are fine, but they're not above the Word of God. If you put your life and your trust in the Word of God, if you seek for the answers that are found in the Word of God, you will have the answers that you seek. And they will be the right answers, not the answers that some psychologist or counselor might give you that might be totally wrong because it's against the Word of God. Our authority for our lives is His Word. That's it. There is no other authority for our lives than the Word of God. And if the Word of God says that we must renew our mind and transform our minds, that's what we must do. So I ask you tonight, what have you done to transform your mind in a way that God wants you to be transformed? What have you done in your life? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you praying? Are you seeking His will? And I know it's like a simple question, and I know it's the real answer that's supposed to be, oh yes, Randy, I am. But I ask that because a lot of times we don't do the simple things. Sometimes we don't pray, even though we should. We don't read the Bible, even though we should. We don't study the Bible, even though we should. These are things that every believer should be doing. But we do not do it. We neglect it. Because we feel that we're too busy. Because we have too much time invested in work. Because we have too much time invested into family. There's too much business, Randy. You do not understand. I'll tell you what. You must make time for God first. Start with Him first, even if you have to wake up an hour early. Even if you have to wake up 2 hours early. Put Him first. Let Him be the foundation of your everyday life. Make sure you pray. Make sure you read the Word of God, because it's the only way that's going to set the tone for the rest of your day. You're not going to live a spiritual day. You're not going to be in the will of God for the day if you don't start your day in prayer. If you don't spend time in His Word, how can you live a life of power in God with no prayer? How can you live a life of power and victory in your life, a holy and pleasing life to God, without prayer and without reading His Word, without relying on His power? It's impossible. It's like me trying to lift 1,000 pounds. I'm not going to do it. I'm pretty strong, I think, but I won't do it. I cannot lift 1,000 pounds, not on my own. In the same way, we think that for the things that are spiritual, that we in our own power, in our own strength, in our own wisdom can do it, but we can't. And so the second point of my text is this. In order to live a life of sacrifice, we must also renew our mind. And by renewing our mind, we are going to know the pleasing and perfect will of God. We must renew our mind, and therefore we will know the will of God. Without you transforming your mind, without you renewing your mind through the Word of God, you will never know what is His perfect and pleasing will. And I know that there are many here tonight that want to walk close to Jesus, that wants to know His will for your life. Well, there's your answer. Now it's your turn to live by it. It's your turn to take action. It's your turn to say, yes, I will go by what the Word of God says. Now you're the one who is responsible for doing what the Word of God says that you must do. So what are you going to do tonight? That's my question. Are you going to live a life of sacrifice or not? Because you know that you have to. You know that you must live a life that is pleasing and holy to Him. It's the only way to worship Him. You don't get to have God your own way. You don't get to make your own God and your own idol. And if you have, you must destroy that idol in your life. You must put that idol away, destroy it, and put Christ at the center. Because it's only that way that you're going to live a life that is holy, pleasing, and is close to Jesus. There's no other way. Let's move on to the text, right? It says right here on verse 3. It says here, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." You see, there's a purpose for which we're saying all of this. I'm not telling you to sacrifice your life and to live holy and pleasing lives for your own self so you could pat yourself in the back. It's not about you. It's bigger than yourself. If you think that your relationship with Jesus is just about you and it ends there, you are greatly mistaken. There is more at stake in your obedience than just you. Maybe you say, "Randy, I don't bother nobody with my sin. It's just me and my sin. Nobody knows about it. It doesn't harm anybody. I don't harm anybody. It's just me and my sin. It's just me not praying. It's just me not reading the Bible. It's just me not doing what God told me to do. But it's just me in private. It's not a big deal. It's not hurting anybody." The text here tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than others, because the reason that God wants you to be holy and pleasing is because God wants to use your life. He wants to use you, but He cannot use a vessel that is not surrendered. He cannot use a vessel that is not totally sacrificed unto him. And he has given you a call. He has given you a purpose. That is why you are breathing right now. You're just not here wasting time and wasting space. You are here for a purpose that God has placed you for. And one day you will give an account of what you did with your time and what you did in your body and what you did with the gifts and the talents that he has given you. And my prayer is that every single one of us tonight, when we get onto the presence of God, can say that we were faithful servants. That we were faithful with our time, we were faithful with our gifts, faithful with our finances, faithful with everything that God gave us. That we were a faithful vessel. I pray that all of us here tonight will not be on our last hours, on our last seconds, in our deathbeds, and be regretting what we could have done for God. And be regretting that we didn't live for God more. And be regretting that we were not holier and more pleasing to God, that we didn't serve God more. That is one of the biggest regrets that we could have. Those things that we didn't do for God. I guarantee that you will not be on your deathbed being regretful that you didn't have a bigger house, or being regretful that you didn't have a bigger car, or that you didn't have more money in the bank account, or that you didn't have more friends, or that you didn't have more trees or whatever it is. Clothes, you name it. Those things that people put importance into these days. Because at that moment, you will know that all those things are fading. You came into this earth with none of those things. And when you leave, those things stay behind. You will not take them with you. The only thing you take with you when you are in the other side of heaven is your relationship with God. It's what you did for him. That's why the word of God says to build your treasures upon heaven where no thieves and no rust could get to it. Many of us have bought cars before, bought clothes before, bought houses before, just to see them decay, just to see it be destroyed before our very eyes, just to be able to give that clothes away to many organizations. Those things are fading. Those things don't last forever. But what you do for God and the life that you live for God is something that is eternal. It's something that will last forever. It's the best investment that you could take. Your 401k, your retirement, all of that stuff will stay right here. You are not taking that to heaven. Your home, your cars, your clothes, not taking it with you. But the only thing that will last at the end is what you did for Christ. It's how you lived for Christ. Did you give yourself completely to him? And my plea tonight is that you do that tonight if you haven't. And everyone in your heart, you know if you have given everything that you can to God, or you know if you have held something back. I remember being in a team in school. We did like athletics and stuff. I was a lot more stronger back in my high school days. And there was this competition, the tug of war. I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with that. And you could tell when somebody was not putting 100% on that rope, and it hurt the team. You could tell when somebody was just there grabbing the rope and fully pulling. You knew what they were slacking and when they were just not giving them the all. It was only through teamwork and by everybody pulling their weight that we were able to beat the other teams. It was only through that. So let's continue our text here on verse 4. We were been speaking that it's not about you. And look what it says here in your text. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. We're all in this together. This mission that God has given us is too big for one person to do on his own. God did not design this mission that he has given us to take the gospel unto the ends of the earth for one person. It's impossible. That's why you see that we sponsor missionaries. That's why you see that we go to different places like Pastor Howard's doing tonight to go share the word of God in different places of the world. But we're doing all of this together. One great example of that is tonight. You see, Pastor Howard's not here. Cooper was not able to be here tonight. There's a lot of pieces that we're missing here in our body tonight. And it hurt us because they were not here. But the good thing is that we together were able to cover for each other. You saw Pastor Joe as he came and preached in the morning. I was able to fill in the drums, not as well, but I tried as best as I could. But we all worked together as a body so that the gospel could still be preached. People came in this morning and heard the gospel and worshiped God because we were all working together as a body, even though we have members of our family that were missing here tonight. Why? Because it's not about one man. Because it is about the collective body together. But imagine if I was selfish and said, well, Pastor Howard's not here, I'm going to stay home. I don't want to wake up at 6 in the morning and come play drums. That's way too early. I need to get my sleep in. How am I going to keep my skin all nice and beautiful? I need to get some sleep. That would have been a selfish thing for me to do and say. Imagine if Pastor Joe said, nah, that's way too much work to do. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to do what I need to do with the youth tonight, and I'm going to do my Sunday school class, and that's it. This is way too much stuff for me to do. Lead worship, preach, and do all this stuff. No, not doing it. If that was his attitude, then the body of Christ would be hurting here in this place. And those who came in for maybe the very first time would have never had the chance to hear the gospel. But because we are living sacrifices for Christ, we are able to sacrifice for one another and know that this mission we are working all together is not about one person. It's not even about our needs and our wants. It's about his kingdom. It's not about us. It's about him. And here in the next verse, it's going to talk about some of the different gifts that are given to us. It's just a short list. It's not all the gifts, but it's just a short list of some of the gifts that are found in the body of Christ. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. We are to use our gifts in a way that it glorifies God. Do you even know the gifts that God has given you? Have you spent time with God to find out exactly what are those gifts and in which way he wants you to use them in this place? Are you in the playing field of the kingdom of God? Or are you just standing by in the sidelines? Are you shipping in this family, in this local church, to fulfill the mission that we have been given? To reach Homestead, to reach this community, to reach Miami, to reach Florida, and even beyond that. In order for that to happen, we all need to work together. We must know that it's not about us. We must know that it's about Christ and his mission and his kingdom and seeing his kingdom expanded, not ours. But again, I repeat, the only way that this could be done is by living a life of sacrifice to Christ. We must sacrifice. It is our spiritual worship to live holy and pleasing to him. And not holiness in our own standard, but holiness according to the standard of the Word of God. So you must make a decision tonight. You have to make that decision of whether you're going to do this or not. But I tell you, if you don't, it is not God that's going to be in the losing end. It will be you. If you decide to stay in your sin, if you decide that you're not going to be a living sacrifice, if you decide that for you it's not that much important to be holy and pleasing to God, then God is not the one that's going to be losing. His kingdom is not going to miss out. His church is not the one that's going to miss out. You will miss out on the blessing. You will. And the reason God gives you this text here tonight and to me, to all of us, is because God does not want us to miss out. God wants to use you. And so are you ready to be used by God? Are you ready to do his work? Are you ready to say playing games is enough already? Being a passive Christian is enough for me already. Playing around with sin is enough with me already. With one foot in the world and one foot in the church is enough with me already. I make a decision to go fully after God. I make a decision to give my heart fully unto God. And I know that this is not an easy thing to ask. And I know it's not an easy thing to say. But it is what is in front of us in the text. And so we need to be faithful to the text of God, to the word of God. We must be faithful. We cannot choose and pick what we want to hear. We cannot choose and pick what sounds pretty. We want to just put the word of God and say, well, God is a God of love. Well, it is true because it is in his word. And he is a God of love. And he loves us. Yes, he does. But he also calls us to live life of sacrifice. He also calls us to pick up our cross and follow him. He also calls us to say that if we do not give up family, if we don't give up those things that are dear to us because of his kingdom, then we're not worthy of him. That's in the Bible too. We can't decide to rip those pages off and throw them in the trash. It's in there, so we need to deal with it. We must follow it. And a word in the text tonight says in the word of God that we must be holy and pleasing. So what do you do with that? That you must be a living sacrifice. That you need to transform your mind and no longer be conformed to the system of this age. It would be a mistake to hear this tonight and go back home and get back on your Netflix and say, oh, I'm going to watch my movie again. I kind of left off. I'm going to get some popcorn and soda and I'm going to just continue watching the series or whatever series is out there. Even though it has a bunch of killing and people bleeding all over the place, a bunch of violence and cursing, oh, it's okay. I pray that the Spirit of God will convict you and me and all of us when we do things like that. That we will say, no, Christ is worth it. Because Christ died for me. Because he gave everything for me. I will give everything for him. You see, Jesus Christ is our example. Jesus Christ is that sacrifice that we clearly know about. He became a living sacrifice for us. He died on the cross. And he was innocent. There was no sin in him. He did not have to go to the cross and die. He was not guilty of what they charged him with. But he did it as an example for us to follow. So if Jesus sacrificed himself for us and gave his life for us and gave everything up for us, he was obedient even unto death. He gave us his very best. He didn't leave nothing behind. How can we turn our backs and just give God whatever is left, the leftovers of our lives, the leftovers of our time, the leftovers of our gifts, the leftovers of our finances, the leftovers of our surrender? Christ didn't do that. He carried that cross. He was lashed on his body to the point that he was not recognized. He was pierced. He was ridiculed upon. And he did all of that for all of us here tonight. And he gave everything. Everything that he had, he gave. All the way to the last drop of his blood. And when you think of that, there's only one response that we can give. And it's a response of this. If Jesus gave his life for me in that way, I give my life back to him in that way. It's our only response. To give our whole life to him. There is no way that we could truly repay Christ for what he has done. There is no way that we could truly repay God whole for the salvation that he has given us. Many times I fear that because we think salvation is so easy for us to get, that it was something that was cheap and something that was easy for God to purchase when it was not. Sometimes when it's a free gift, we neglect how much it cost the other person that was given the gift. And so I remind you tonight that Christ paid a high price. Your salvation indeed was not free. It cost something. It cost the life of our Savior. It cost the life of our Savior on that cross. And since you know that, I ask you, will you give your life away to Him? You see, your friends didn't die for you on the cross. Those people on the TV screen did not give their lives for you on the cross. None of them could give you salvation. The money, that green paper, did not die for you on the cross. And it didn't give you salvation. But Christ died for you. So all those things that we spend all our time trying to please, and at the end, they didn't do nothing for us. And the last person that we think of pleasing, which is Christ, is the one that gave everything. We need to change the way that we think about that. The text says here that we are to present ourselves. Right there in the first verse, when we first started, it says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your body as a living sacrifice. And that means that there must be a preparation. There must be a preparation. See, when you present yourself, you make sure you look in the mirror first, don't you? When you guys came here tonight, I'm pretty sure you guys looked in the mirror, did your hair for those who have hair, and, you know, did your tie, make sure your tie is straight or that your shirt didn't have a stain on at least. We go to the closet and at least try to find a shirt that doesn't have any stains and it's not that much wrinkle. We pick out the one that is less wrinkle. Or maybe you do have an iron shirt in your closet and then you pick that one. But when you go to places, you make sure you look presentable. Maybe you guys remember, for those who have gone out on a date before, your first date or so, and you wanted to impress that lady or that gentleman, and so you put your best foot forward. You make sure you look good. You didn't go out there, you know, with smelling bad and without a shower. Well, I hope not. I think that would have been just one date and out, you know? It wouldn't last too long, I think. But you were making sure that you presented yourself in a way that represented you in a good way. When you go to work, you dress yourself according to the uniform and you make sure that the uniform looks good. Why don't we do that with God? Why don't we present ourselves in our bodies as a holy and pleasing sacrifice to Him? Why is it that we're so worried about pleasing people and looking good in front of people and not in front of God? Present yourselves, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is going to take effort, this is going to take work, but as I say, it's not of your own doing. It's of the power of God. So present yourselves, prepare yourselves before your God through prayer, through Bible study, through fellowship with Him. And He will give you the power and the grace to live holy and pleasing unto Him. By the way, when you transform your mind and when you read the Word of God, your whole worldview is changed. You no longer think the same way that you used to think before. Many of you guys could testify here. If you could come up here tonight and give a testimony of how you were before you met Christ, I'm really sure that the way that you used to think before of things is not the same way you think now. Your way of thinking has changed. When you were out there living according to the age of this world, the way that you used to think is not the way you think now. Something changed in your heart in the way that you think. That is the power of God. And so finally, I'm going to go into the portion of the message where is our application. We read our text. We study what it says. So how would this impact our lives? How is this to look on our everyday life? First of all, I ask you the same question over and over again because I want you to go home and think about it and not forget it. What are those things that God is telling you that you need to sacrifice and put on the altar of sacrifice and kill it. What are those things that God is saying, enough with that? I don't know if it was like me where God says, you need to stop eating those cookies and those donuts because you weigh 30 pounds over your regular weight and you are breathing slow and you are slow in your running. So God convicted me of that. And I had to give up, you know, McDonald's and Burger King and soda and fries and stuff. I had to be honest with you. I kind of went back a little bit, and I gained a couple of pounds again. But as I was preparing this message, I got convicted. So I will go to Publix tomorrow and buy my bread and my turkey and go back to the gym again. And at least put at least 2 hours in the treadmill. So I'm going to get back on track. Because many times we do try to live our lives for God, and we get off track. But are you thankful that God is a merciful God? Are you grateful that God is a God full of grace? That even though if you have made many mistakes in your life, that there's still hope. There is hope at the cross. It is never too late to do what God has called you to do. And the very fact that you're here tonight means just that. And so you might be in despair and say, Randy, I have not been a living sacrifice ever. And I have totally blown it. It's okay. Because Christ died for that failure. Christ took your sin upon that cross. And tonight is a night of redemption. It's not just a call to holiness, but it's also a call to redemption. Because if you have failed, as all of us have, there is hope in Christ. There is redemption in Him. And all you need to do is just come to God and repent of your sins. And it will be forgiven. And you will be restored. And you will be used by Him. So if you're here tonight, you say, well, Randy, I guess I'm not a living sacrifice. I guess it's too late for me. I think that's about it. No, it's not over yet. You're here. You're here in this very place because God wanted you here. You're here in this very place because God wanted you to hear that God still has a plan for your life. That He died for your sins. That He died for your failures. That He died for those things that you did wrong in the past. And that He could redeem you from it. And that He could still use you for His kingdom. All He needs is a vessel that is willing to say, here I am. Take me as I am. And use me. I don't have much to offer to you, Lord, but whatever I have, I give it to you. If that is your heart tonight, that is a heart that God can use. If that is your life tonight, that is a life that God can use. So if that is your prayer tonight, then in the invitation, you could come. I'll be more than happy to pray for you. The leaders here will be more than happy to pray for you. And God can restore you. And God indeed will use you. I'm confident of that. But it must start with a decision to say, yes, some things need to change. Yes, I do need to be a holy and pleasing sacrifice unto God, and I haven't been. So that is our first application. To put in the altar and sacrifice and kill those things that God says to give up. And maybe you made that decision here tonight and you go home all encouraged, say, I'm going to do it. And you fail. The next day, do not be discouraged. Repent, pray, seek counsel of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Get back up and keep walking your walk. Do not give up because God is with you. Do not give up because God is greater than your sin. One of my favorite texts in the Bible is the one that says, where sin abounds, grace is even greater than it. God's grace is greater and stronger than your sin. And so if your heart is aimed at following God, and if your desire is to please Him and to be holy, God will honor that. He knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but He does. He knows your heart. He knows if your intentions and your motivation is to love Him and be holy and pleasing to Him. And if that is your heart tonight, He will help you with that. He will empower you. So take heart. The second application that I will tell you is this. Pray. pray like never before, read the word of God like never before, chase after God like never before. It's not enough just to say that I'm going to put those things in the altar of God and I'm going to be done with those sins and I'm going to be done away with those things that keep me away from God. You need a plan. And not a plan of man, but the only plan that is found in Christ, His power, His grace, His strength. When you are weak, He is strong. But if you think you're strong, then you don't give no space for God to work because you think you got it, because you think that you have all the answers, and so you think you don't need God. If that is your attitude, God cannot work with that. But if you surrender yourself and say, God, all that I know is that I do not know anything. All that I know, God, is that I'm poor in spirit. And doesn't the word of God says that blessed are those who are poor in spirit? For God will help them. God will strengthen them. Blessed are those who are humble, because God will exalt them. But the prideful, God cannot help those who are prideful in heart. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and give yourself unto Him. Surrender yourself to God in prayer and in reading of His word. He will not fail you. I guarantee it. The third application that I will say to you is not only to give God everything that you have and to put to death those things that God has told you to put to death, not only to pray and read the word of God and stay there, but according to our text, you have been given a gift. So my third application is this: get in service for God. It's time to move. We do not know how much time we got left. And to be honest, it's not our job to know. It is our job to be obedient. And according to the word of God, God wants us to use our gifts to bless the body of Christ, to accomplish the mission that God has given to us. And so if you are not using your gifts and your talents, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It's time to do the work of the kingdom. We work hard for our physical money, but like I said before, I don't care how big your bank account is, it could never be totally secure. Many people have had much money on the bank just to see it go away, because there's never a guarantee. Many people have put their monies on different accounts and different shares and different things, you know, to make the market go up and all that stuff. I'm not really good at financial stuff like that, but people do that just to see the market crash, just to see the stocks go down, and they go into depression and they go into despair because their trust was in the money. Because the trust was in their own ability. Because the trust was in the job they had, the title they had, the house they had. What will happen if all those things are taken away? Will you still worship God? Will you still live for God even if it costs you everything? Even if everything is taken away from you? That reminds me of Job. When Job, sorry, where everything was taken away from him and he still did not curse God. He had a rough wife, I would say, you know. The wife said, well, just curse God and get it over with. But he didn't listen, and he continued to serve God. And so I plead with you to do the same. Serve God. Give yourself completely unto Him. And so those are my applications for tonight. I hope that tonight was a blessing for you guys. I pray that when we go home tonight that we will give ourselves up to God and give those things away that God has been telling us to give away, and that we will rely on the power of the Spirit alone. And that once we have been transformed by His power and His word, that we will move forward into the work of His kingdom. Brothers and sisters, be blessed. Thank you for being here. And I really appreciate it. It's an honor to share the word of God with you guys.